relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Come on. The president says listen to me. You gotta listen to him. Thank you, Mr. Trump, President Trump. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you haven't done so yet, please register today for our Stand With Israel tour. 10 days later this year, November and December, we're traveling to the Holy Land with my superlative Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie, for the trip of a lifetime. They messed up in Israel. They've dropped all their COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. We'll be there, standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, at the Western Wall, at the Garden of Gethsemane. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. Register today. Call 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. Slow down, Gorka. 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. Now, you may be surprised. I do have a sense of humor, a little bit more than Mr. G. Jeff, do I have a sense of humor?
You don't have a better sense of humor than me. Come on.
I do have a better sense of humor.
You don't.
Eric, who's got the better sense of humor, me or Mr. G? Your job hangs in the...
You watch sci-fi.
I watch science fiction. What's that going to do with my sense of humor?
You don't have a sense of humor. You're watching weird movies.
Eric!
You are a fellow Monty Python fan, so I'm going to say...
Thank you. Saved, of course. I laugh at Monty Python. Therefore, I must have a sense of humor. Here's the question. Is a comedy, is it alive? Has it survived? Has it been killed by the wokearati? Let's look at somebody who actually is funny. Play clip.
My mum came to this country 40 years, guys, as a first-generation immigrant, unable to speak the language. 2 years ago, she voted Brexit. I know. And when I asked her why, her response was, Francie, it's because there are too many foreigners in this country. And so she got to the UK border, turned around and went, no, you're not coming, don't lock the Britain fool, goodbye.
Now, I've briefed the director of the CIA, the president of the United States, the commandant of the Marine Corps, but I could never do that. I could never make people laugh as a stand-up comic. Francie there is Francis Foster, and he is half of the dynamic duo. Can't believe they're in studio. I'm going to just fanboy out here. It is the lads from Trigonometry, the podcast. Cross the pond. We've been waiting a long time. Constantin Kissin, Francis Foster, welcome in studio.
It's a pleasure to be here, Seb.
Thanks for having us, Seb.
All right, now I'm going to embarrass them royally because they said they'd be here on time. They were late. I had everything ready. I had Bakewell cherry tarts.
Amazing.
I had angel slices, Taifu British tea, and they kept me waiting!
I'll have my We flew all the way over from England. We were 7 minutes late. Give
yes,
us a break.
I know! It's outrageous because of some people in New York.
Are they Mr. Kipling?
Yes, of course they're Mr. Kipling.
You spoil us.
I know, only the very best.
Right. By the way, did you like Seb's approach of bullying subordinates into claiming he has a sense of humor?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to
never,
do it.
You never make fun of Anton, ever.
Yeah. No.
Never live make fun of him.
No, that is very true, but you've seen the size of him. He's small, but he's ferocious.
He looks rather athletic, and I finally met him. We'll keep him behind the camera because, you know, a little bit of suspension there of a disbelief. All right, gentlemen, superb to have you in studio. You've got a brand new book. We'll discuss it momentarily. But first things first, what brings you to America, guys?
Well, we wanted to come over here because Constantin is promoting his book, but because we love America. I love America, Constantin does. And America is where things happen. And we wanted to meet people, we wanted to interview guests, meet different people like yourselves. Like, we've got a connection, we became friends over the internet, but it's not the same as being in front of people. So we did that, and we've also going to go on a whole bunch of shows like yours and a few others So we're really looking forward
exciting.
To it.
Yeah, man, it's an exciting place to be, you know, just being around. And I can see why you moved from the UK as well, because here, when you tell people something good is happening in your life, they're actually happy for you. This is
Britain. It's weird, you know, this is literally, I met you for the first time, what, like 7 minutes ago?
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm so happy for your success. As two former stand-up comedians who said this political correctness is out of control, launched a podcast, what, 3 years ago?
Four years ago.
Yeah. And now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'll say it live in front of 3 million listeners plus all the viewers, best UK podcast. But not of any topic. I mean, I'm a political guy, but you have an honesty and you have an authenticity that I think is peerless. But let's stay on this issue of why you're here. I find it fascinating how much of your show is about our politics in America.
Mm. Well, that's because your politics in America influences everything right. around the world. I mean, it's one of the things I talk about in the book is in Britain, people now started saying that we are a nation of immigrants. Britain. And that's just because that's what we heard on American TV. Yeah,
right.
This is what people, we just regurgitate American culture and we think we live in the same place. Actually, quite different places. But that is the power of American culture around the world, which is why it matters so much what happens here, because what happens here bleeds out into the rest of the world. And we are all dealing with the same stuff that you're dealing with here.
And listen, we're influenced in a positive way by America, but also all the nonsense that you have in your country, it's over here now.
It travels. It travels. We say the craziness starts in California, then it infects the rest of America, and then it travels across the pond and elsewhere. however, I have to say, for those who don't know, you know, well, everybody knows who's listening to me, I am a traditional conservative. I don't like the word Republican. I grew up under Maggie Thatcher. My parents were refugees from a communist country. You come from immigrant families yourself. You were born in Russia. Your mother is from Venezuela. But neither of you would describe yourselves as conservatives, correct?
No.
Not correct.
Right. So what labels, you can eschew them. I don't like them in general. But if you had to put yourself under a label, what would it be politically?
Well, my label is I don't want to be part of a tribe. That's my label. Okay. I think the tribalism is the problem. I understand why a lot of people cling to that and think it's important. And certainly if you want to achieve, you know, electoral success, you have to have a team, right? You got to have a team. But we are not trying to be political activists or actors. We are just journalists, comedians. We try to have conversations. And I think being on a team makes it more difficult to have a good conversation because everyone suspects you of having some kind of agenda. And there's always...
Well, there are things you're expected to say.
Right, exactly. Whereas we stay away from political. We get invited to meet ministers and we try and stay as far away from that as possible because we're not trying to be power brokers in the political world. We want to be outside of that, looking in. And when Boris Johnson, the Conservative leader, is doing something bad, we will mock him. And when the Labour leader is doing something bad, we will mock him. That's what I think the culture needs right now. People are willing to step out of the two-party system and actually make fun, joke about, criticise whatever's going on, whoever's doing it.
Do you have a label?
No, I don't have a label because the reality is the left has great ideas, the right has great ideas, and they both have bad ideas as well. What is wrong with just standing, observing what's happening, going, this is a great idea, this is a great idea, I don't like that, I don't like that either. And this, the fact that suddenly we're being driven into these camps, it's not helpful and it's really detrimental to society because nowadays we don't think of somebody as being, oh, look, it's Seb, you come and have a chat. Oh, Seb's right wing, he's conservative, therefore this means X. Somebody's on the left, therefore that means this. And if we continue to go down this path, what we're going to have, and we're seeing it more and more, is society that is divided.
Well, and also there's the more philosophical or you know, epistemological question. Do these labels mean anything? After Brexit, after Trump, what is right? What is left? I think, you know, the taxonomy is breaking down. We're talking to the lads of trigonometry, Francis Foster, Constantine Kissin. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay on this channel.
Being called a Nazi comedian, right, is I now got a niche. I've got I've got my voice. I've got something to write into. Right. Problem is, I haven't got any racist, sexist, homophobic jokes. I'm actually quite a progressive guy. Like, some of my best friends are gender-fluid lesbians of colour. I don't get on with all of them. I'm progressive, so I have to, you know, fill the quota. That's what it's about.
He's got his full quota of gender-fluid lesbian LGBTQLMNOP friends, but he's also a Nazi, a comedian, allegedly, despite being a Jewish Russian Brit. He's Konstantin Kissin. He's half of the dynamic duo that is the Trigonomy podcast, and they are with us here in studio, Francis Foster as well. Konstantin, let's tell everybody out there listening, your claim to fame, is it before you started TriggerPod that you had that incident at the college?
Shortly into it.
So you are still stand-up comedian. You're earning a crust like that, and you go to a college comedy club or
event?
Well,
no, these guys saw me performing. The students saw me performing at a comedy club in London. They invited me to help them raise money for charity. And when they did, they sent me a contract which said they had a zero-tolerance policy on racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, anti-religion, anti-atheism, and it also said, Seb, that all jokes must be respectful and kind.
So you can make jokes about who? Like white heterosexuals, as long as they're kind?
I don't know. Well, unless you insult their religion, apparently. It was pretty crazy.
So what did you do? What made you famous?
Well, I turned it down. I tweeted about it to, like, at the time I had like 3 followers or whatever. It just happened to go viral. It took off from there, really. And the reason I say in the clip that I got called a Jewish Nazi is because another comedian, this is the stage we've kind of got to, another comedian was critical of me for turning down that contract. And that's what she called me.
Saying you should have given in to the censorious
posts. Right, and how dare you turn this down, etc.
So where is this at right now? So I've been saving this on my desk for a couple of days. This is the latest. This is from Minneapolis, something called the First Avenue, an iconic concert venue, that cancelled Dave Chappelle's show literally hours before it occurred, saying they have to have a safe environment for their employees. Now, this is perhaps right now the best live comedian in America. I mean, he is our Eddie Murphy of the current age. Is this still happening in the UK? Is there anybody standing up to it who doesn't have the kind of range and podcast that you have? Give us the sit rep of what's happening.
Okay, so things are actually even worse in the UK, because what we have now are stand-up comedians being investigated by the police for jokes that they tell on stage. So there is a comedian, he's actually very famous, he's a very good comedian as well, called Joe Lycett. Joe would describe himself as incredibly mainstream and incredibly middle of the road. He's quite a camp comic, does observational material, very funny. Anyway, he told a joke on stage, he's not edgy in any shape or form, got home, and a little knock from the police saying that they wanted to talk to him about his joke because somebody had made a complaint. And then the police opened an investigation into him because of this joke.
To charge him with what?
Being offensive. Being offensive is illegal in the UK now, Seb.
Who defines what is offensive? What if I say Boris Johnson's haircut is offensive to me? Can I do a citizen's arrest? You're mocking the right.
That's fine. You can mock the right.
Okay.
You can mock the right. But it's when you start to go into other territory, that's where they become very uncomfortable.
You say that, Francis. I mean, you cast your mind back only a few years ago where Joan Brand made a joke about Nigel Farage. Right, she made a joke about Nigel Farage. She was investigated by the police, which is why we've been saying it doesn't matter which side you're on, if you're a comedian, how you're supporting or defending this way of...
So let's go back in time. I was born in 1970, and you know, the age of comedy in the 70s and 80s was for me the high point, okay? Yeah. Whether it's Bernard Manning or the Two Ronnies. And there, it was offensive. I mean, the stuff Bernard Manning did was offensive. Did society collapse? Did the UK cease to exist? Were there riots because of Bernard Manning?
But you know what's interesting about Bernard Manning is that any time you talk about freedom of speech in comedy, they immediately use Bernard Manning as an example of offensive comedy. And you say, well, that point isn't even relevant anymore because he's been dead years.
Yeah, and no one does that kind of material. But, Seb, this is one of the things that, as you know, I talk about in the book, which is once you decide that words are violence, this is the inevitable conclusion. Once you smuggle that idea in, everything else follows. If you, what you are doing by joking is being violent, then of course we should have the police on you. And by the way, we live in a country in the UK where the police barely investigate burglaries and all sorts of other carjackings.
That's
other
not crime. Fair, mate. You get a crime reference number.
You get a crime reference number and you can claim insurance. Yeah. But if you misgender someone on Twitter, the coppers will be right at your door.
Right. He's so smooth. I mean, he's much smoother than my American guests. He just very subtly mentioned the book. And he's right to do so.
Twice.
I know, but really, I mean, it was just kind of touching.
But if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it, right?
I invited these people into my studio. It's called An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West. I've read it in printout. It's amazing. Guys, you've got to read it. It is... It had to be written, basically. It had to be written. We're going to talk about it momentarily, but first things first, we've got to pay the rent. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I... Relief Factor is liberating 500,000 Americans from their daily pain. Totally natural, drug-free. Order the three-week quick starter pack right now. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You deserve to know. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Let me ask you a question. What have you got to lose? Well, of course, the pain. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Please. Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good job. How's
President.
Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. President. We're back. This is America First. And thank you for all your kind comments for the new Dr. G. Yes, Mark II. 34 pounds lost in less than 2 months, thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Book your first consultation today. No stupid calorie counting, no starvation diet. Just reset the chemistry of your body and burn the fat. It truly works. My wife's lost 25 pounds. Mike Gallagher's lost 50. It's incredible. Call today, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. That number again, don't wait any longer, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. We're back with the podcasters of Trigonometry, Constantin Kissin and Francis Foster. But I want to tease the next hour because we're really excited about this as well. Have you watched The Terminal List? That phenomena, the 8-hour TV show about the SEAL on his revenge. Well, guess who we're going to have? We're going to have the creator, former SEAL team sniper, Jack Carr, will be with us in the second hour. You don't want to miss it, so do not touch that dial. All right, he's been so subtle, he's mentioned it twice. That's why he's here in studio. We've got to talk about his book. First book, right?
First book.
Just made the Sunday Times bestseller list.
Yep.
Congratulations. It's called An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West. It is superb. I've read it. Constantin Kissin. Let's start with, why did you write this book?
Someone should.
Yeah.
Someone needs to
Why?
Say.
Why?
Because only people like me nowadays are allowed to say the things that I think people in the West need to hear, which is this is not the worst place in the history of the world. We're not the most racist country. We're, in fact, quite the opposite, whether that's the United States or the UK. And I'm, frankly, getting quite tired of people talking down these great civilizations. And at a time where we can't afford to engage in this navel-gazing any longer, as you well know, Seb, with your... career, we are in a dangerous time internationally, and we have to be on top of our game. And if we spend the entirety of that time looking inward and beating ourselves up over things that happened many hundreds of years ago in a way that's ahistorical and inaccurate and fails to give us the full picture of what was happening, we're going to take our eye off the ball and we're going to end up in a lot of trouble. So people like me, I feel, immigrants, you know, people from minorities who don't agree with this stuff have an overweighting responsibility to say something about it.
And it's an amazing story, especially how you ended up at age 11 from Russia in the UK, and how you got to learn the values of the West as a free human being who'd left the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union. But I want to critique the book. I have issues with it. Number one, you give too much ammunition to our enemy. I mean, the second half of the book is the 10 ways to destroy the West. Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're doing, and it's a nice device, kind of updating Saul Alinsky. But it leaves me hungry for the what now? What do we do to defend it? Because you're like the doctor who's prescribed, who's diagnosed exactly the ailment. You've shown how the disease can go even further to kill the patient. What next? And I know you're doing it every day with the podcast, but if there's a series, if there's a sequel to the book, where would it begin in terms of what do we do about the self-hatred in the West?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do, and I talk about history an awful lot in the book, and I know that you're a student of history as well, we have to teach our children history properly, not through the lens of colonialism or, you know, American. We have to understand history as it was happening around the world all at once, and we don't do a very good job of that. And also, this may be more UK-specific, but we have a problem with the housing crisis, which prevents young people from...
No, it's the same here.
Right. So if young people can't settle down, can't have a family, they're not going to be...
If you can't make a down payment on a house.
If you, I assume, would want them to be conservatives. Well, if you want them to be conservatives, then the next conservative administration of this country has to make sure that people are able to buy a house.
Right.
And also, again, this is something that sometimes people on the right don't want to hear, but wealth inequality is a problem. And doesn't matter right, left, up, down, it's a problem. And if you have a society in which young people feel like they cannot get on with their life, even in a country like America, where I still believe, just like in the UK, actually, if you work really hard, you can make it, you can achieve or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's getting harder for young people.
But you're not arguing for redistributive wealth.
No, I'm arguing, first of all, for meritocracy, and I'm arguing for eliminating corruption from the system when it comes to things like the housing market, where it's about profiteering. It's not about allowing people to buy a house. You know, we've got to a point in the UK where people buy houses not to live in them, but as an investment. Right? And that's good for those people. But if you want a cohesive society in which people have families and children, You need to deal with that.
I mentioned in the beginning that well, you're a teacher formerly, but you're both comedians. You're going back on the road as a stand-up comedian, Francis. Will you share a little bit with our listeners and viewers, what has it been like for you in the last 4 years? What has happened to your being ostracized? I won't even steal your thunder. How have you been treated by your fellow comedic thespian?
My fellow comedic thespian. So the first thing you've got to know is that there's always a minority of people who have been very supportive to us, and they, you know, they say, really love what you do, just not going to say it publicly.
Yeah, don't ask me to say it in public.
Don't ask me to say it in public. I'll share a message with you that I'll delete 2 minutes afterwards. Mm-hmm. But no, the problem is that the comedy industry has been completely crippled by wokeness. And I'll give you an example. So the Edinburgh Festival is where you go and get notice as a stand-up comedian. You go up, you do your show, you get notice. That's how you get TV,
it's
radio.
Big names like Cleese, Monty Python, you name it.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody goes through it.
Right. Everybody goes through it. Eddie Izzard, all these big name acts, right? They all go there. That's how you get discovered. In 2018, the head of the Edinburgh Festival Awards, Nika Burns, said that she's looking forward. She did this in a public speech. She didn't even hide it. She's looking forward to the next generation of woke comedians deciding what is and what isn't acceptable on stage.
Hang on, this is the person running the festival.
Yeah. Running the festival, running the awards.
Saying she's looking forward to more censorship and deciding what you're allowed to laugh at.
Yes. And it's not looking forward to woke comedians and this new wave of comedy. I would disagree with that, but at least she's going, oh, I'm looking forward. No. She's looking forward to the next generation of comedians deciding what is and what isn't acceptable.
And response? Was there a response from normal people?
Oh, clapping.
Yeah.
The response is applause, Seb. Because it's a very small industry in which a handful of gatekeepers all buy into this worldview, and they control the entirety of the comedy industry. And by the way, both Francis and I wrote on the biggest comedy shows in the UK, so we've seen it from the inside. It's not like we didn't get our chance and we're here to complain. We are delighted with our lives, but it's an observation that is a fact. And by the way, all the big shows that used to run on UK television, their audience have plummeted, because instead of focusing on what we talked about earlier, meritocracy, they focused on other things.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because the vast majority of people aren't on board with this. This is a tiny section of society. They're the upper echelons, they're highly educated, and what effectively they're doing is they're not creating comedy. What they're doing is creating a series of programs telling people how to think, to feel, how to behave.
And they're killing the industry. We're talking to the Trigonometry lads. Follow them at TriggerPod on Twitter, on YouTube. Get the book, An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you haven't tried Relief Factor, if you're in daily pain, please give yourself a break. Do it today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing except potential liberation from your pain. Call today, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. So I got heartbreak, so I got...
Switching gears, everyone's talking about this today. The White House announced that President Biden has a mild case of COVID. Ooh. On the bright side, it's the first positive news Biden's gotten in months.
Ooh, that's edgy. That's comedy. Jimmy Fallon trying to get some laughs. I don't know if he's going to pay the price for that one. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. It's my favorite British podcast. You've got to listen to it, Trigonometry, especially the raw versions. You'll find out what that means when you subscribe. It's Constantine Kissin. It's Francis Foster. He has a new book. It's called An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West. It's superb. It's just made the Sunday Times bestseller list. But there's something much more important that he did prior to the book, and it's called A Letter to My Newborn Son, We Do Not Kneel. And I've picked the best parts of it. I read it all on air a while back, but I'm going to ask the man who wrote it to do a reprise because it is worth your time. Constantine, will you do the honors?
I will do, although I did say to you when you read it live out on air that you did a much better job of reading than I ever could. So this is going to be
second rate. You're the author. The glory is yours.
Son, I wrote this letter during your first few days in this world. Your mother and I are so happy that you're here. Your grandparents, great-grandparents, aunties, and other relatives are excited to get to know you. Even strangers who will never meet you send their congratulations. And it is one of their messages that I want to talk to you about. Most people, me included, have been trained to fit in. The very genes we carry have shaped us to fear stepping outside the group. As your grandmother used to say to me when I was a little boy, if you spit society in the face, society will wipe it off and carry on. If society spits you in the face, you'll drown. It's a good Russian saying, that one. And your grandmother was right. If you want to live a comfortable life, this is good advice. Fit in, don't ask too many questions, and keep your head down. But son, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that comfort is overrated. You've only been here a couple of weeks, so I do not yet know who your heroes will be. But when you choose them, you will notice that they're all extraordinary. They did something different, created something new, achieved something impossible. Keep working until you're one of them. Many years before you were born, I knew that you were on your way, and I refused to accept that little boys and girls like you should be taught that their skin color, sex, and sexuality makes some of them better than others. I rejected this new cult, and I made it my business to oppose it. I will never accept, and I will never keep quiet about the awful idea that you're better or worse than others because you're a boy, or because you carry our genes, or because of the person you marry. This ugliness has been tried before. Our ancestors paid for it with their lives. We come from generations of men and women who refused to accept what they knew to be wrong. They refused to kneel, and they lost jobs and livelihoods for it. They went to prison for it. They've starved to death for it. We owe it to them to speak the truth. I will never stop honoring their memory, because I know they're watching, and so are you.
It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of writing. I think it embodies what you gentlemen do every day with your podcast. You are courageous individuals. I doff my hat to you. It's an honor to finally meet you. Keep doing what you do, Francis Foster. Keep doing what you do, Constantine Kissin. Get the book. It is an immigrant's love letter to the West. Subscribe to their podcast. Follow them on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, we're going to have up Jack Carr. Yes, the sniper who wrote Terminal List. Stay on this channel.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.